Welcome to the Ice Core Walk. Over the next 36 minutes, you'll journey the length of an Antarctic ice core and listen to the secrets trapped in its tiny air bubbles. These secrets reveal the history of Earth's climate over the past 800,000 years. This ice core and its story were gathered by a multinational team of scientists. More on that later. Musicians turned the scientists' observations into a musical experience through a process called data sonification. In your left ear, you'll hear a musical representation of the temperature record for the ice core site in central Antarctica. In your right ear, you'll hear the changes in atmospheric CO2 concentrations. High and low pitches represent high and low temperatures and CO2 concentrations. At various points along the journey, we'll introduce segments with short stories to provide you with context. You'll be walking through space and through time. As we begin, each step you take will represent 500 years. Our walk starts 800,000 years ago. Scientists have the tools to measure temperature and the amount of CO2 in our modern atmosphere. But how do they examine these markers of global climate hundreds of thousands of years ago? They look at ice cores. In continuously cold areas such as Antarctica and Greenland, snow builds up year after year, trapping gas in tiny bubbles between the ice crystals. Over time, the layers build up, with older ice on the bottom and younger ice on top. To extract information from the ice, scientists drill deep into glaciers to pull out ice cores that are about the diameter of a human fist. The bottom of the ice core is buried so deeply that it experiences the same pressure as the drowned wreck of the Titanic. Deep ice cores need to relax for months under cold conditions so that they don't crack when this pressure is released. Locked within the ice, bubbles contain information about atmospheric conditions at that time, including temperature and CO2. Back in the laboratory, scientists extract the gases embedded in the ice core, releasing the secrets trapped inside. At this point, after listening to 300,000 years of Earth's climate history, you will have noticed several ups and downs in temperature and CO2, with the sonification alternating between high and low pitches. Why is it that Earth's climate is changing over time? The answer has to do with very slight changes in Earth's orbit tilt and wobble as it spins around its own axis and rotates around the Sun. These changes occur in a series of repeating cycles. Changes in Earth's tilt affect how much sun hits the northern hemisphere, where most of the land is located. When more sunlight hits the northern hemisphere, the planet warms up. Earth's wobble changes the timing of the seasons. And finally, Earth's orbit around the sun also changes shape over time in a predictable cycle. Distance to the Sun impacts Earth's climate, with warmer periods occurring when our planet's orbit is slightly closer to the Sun. Taken together, the changes in Earth's tilt, wobble, and orbit, the so-called Milankovitch cycles, can explain much of the variability in our planet's climate history over the past million or so years. Later on in the dataset, we will listen to a different type of warming, global climate change, where the natural cycles only play a very small role. You are also about to hear a third voice in our sonification, a guitar. The guitar sounds mark moments when Earth's historic temperatures are within half a degree Celsius of today's temperatures. For this next section, we are going to slow down a bit to catch key moments in early human history. Now, each step you take will represent 100 years. As you will have noticed from the soundtracks in your left and right ears, temperature and CO2 levels change together, so that when one changes, the other one follows. This is a bit like walking a dog on a leash. Sometimes the dog will pull its owner, and sometimes the owner will pull their dog. In the climate system, atmospheric CO2 levels can be affected by global temperature, while CO2 levels can in turn also affect global temperature. At the very end of this record, we'll see how increasing CO2 levels in Earth's atmosphere lead to increasing temperature through the so-called greenhouse effect.
Thank you.
The cyclical changes you're hearing in Earth's temperature and CO2 levels have had a dramatic effect on the conditions of our planet. During cold periods with low atmospheric CO2 concentration, massive ice sheets up to 3 kilometers, or about 2 miles thick, covered large parts of the northern hemisphere. Scientists call these periods ice ages, and you can hear them in the data when the background temperature and CO2 reach a minimum, and the musical pitches reach a minimum. In North America, glacial ice sheets stretched as far south as the bottom tip of Illinois, and in Europe, they stretched from Dusseldorf to Kiev. These immense frozen masses formed many of our iconic landscapes, like the Great Lakes of North America and the famous Matterhorn Peak in Switzerland, sculpting geological formations as they spread forward with the advancing glaciers. Surprisingly, much of the interior of Alaska was not affected by huge slabs of glacial ice. The large mountains to the west kept moisture out of Alaska's interior, preventing the accumulation of snow and ice sheets. We will see later how this ice-free corridor affected the migration patterns of humans. The accumulation of ice on land also had significant impact on our oceans. All of the water that was trapped in continental ice sheets came from the oceans. As a result, sea levels during the ice ages were as much as 125 meters lower than during the warm interglacial periods. These low sea levels were critical for the movement of the first humans onto the North American continent. Thank you. Modern humans appeared very late in Earth's history, only about 200,000 years ago. It wasn't until about 60,000 years ago that our ancestors began to migrate outwards from their evolutionary birthplace in Africa. Archaeological data provide evidence of early human migrations through much of Europe, Asia, and even into Australia. Without any modern forms of transportation, the expansion of humans into these other continents was no small feat. Around 40,000 years ago, the human population dramatically shrunk to the size of the town of Sedona, Arizona, population 10,000. These surviving members then became the common ancestors of today's human population. This dramatic reduction is called a population bottleneck. Imagine the shape of a ketchup bottle, large on the bottom and narrowing sharply towards the neck, limiting the amount of ketchup that can flow out at once. But why did this happen? One of the largest volcanic eruptions in Earth's history happened about the same time in present-day Indonesia. The ash from this eruption might have caused a volcanic winter, wiping out many food sources and contributing to drought. An eruption of this size likely forced the surviving humans to adapt, which may have contributed to the future success of the species. Listen to the time of the population bottleneck now. But humans would have to wait another 24,000 years before reaching the Americas. This occurred between 15 and 20,000 years ago and was directly linked to changes in global climate. The period of arrival of humans into North America was associated with the last major glaciation in Earth's history. The low glacial sea level created a land bridge between Asia and North America over what is now called the Bering Strait. This permitted humans to migrate between what is now Russia and Alaska, and from there to rapidly spread throughout North and South America. This migration was made possible by the existence of an ice-free corridor through the Alaskan interior. It's the late Pleistocene now, 20,000 years ago. Dinosaurs have been extinct for a very long time, but other big animals still roam the Earth. Saber-toothed cats, giant sloths, and mammoths. This era is also defined by temperature swings of up to 4 to 7 degrees Celsius. How did these big animals deal with such a shifty climate? As the ice sheets spread outwards from the poles during glaciations, animals bulked up and grew thick coats to keep warm as temperatures dipped. They munched on tough grasses and other plants that grew on the fringes of the expanding ice sheets. Searching for more hospitable conditions, many left their cold habitats and traveled to warmer regions. As food became scarce, many animals, including pygmy mammoths, were in danger of starvation. These miniature mammoths were only 3 to 4 feet tall, but still equipped with the iconic curved tusks of their larger relatives. Despite their small size, they ate a lot of plants, so food scarcity and competition were constant threats. But luck was on their side. With shallower ocean waters during the glacial period, the pygmy mammoths were able to reach new habitats where food was more plentiful. For much of our history, humans have existed as hunter-gatherers, roaming the land in search of plants to collect and animals to hunt. It was only about 10,000 years ago that our ancestors began to domesticate plants and animals and develop systems to raise food from the soil. This important milestone in human history enabled the development of large and more complex societies. Like the arrival of humans to the North American continent, the development of agricultural systems was directly linked to global climate patterns. The past 10,000 years of Earth's history have been characterized by a relatively warm and stable climate, with average temperature and CO2 levels changing little compared to the large swings observed across glacial-interglacial cycles. This climate stability was essential to support the development of new agricultural technologies, enabling crops to thrive under predictable environmental conditions. This, in turn, helped to support a growing human population and the development of ever more sophisticated technology. We are now in the year 850, the Middle Ages. For this section, we are going to slow down some more to catch key moments in recent human history. Now, each step you take will represent 2 years of history. The Industrial Revolution, which occurred from 1760 to 1840, was a period of intense change in Western societies. From a geological perspective, the Industrial Revolution was a small blip in time, but it had great consequences for the Earth's climate. With the invention of the steam engine in 1781, coal quickly replaced wood as the primary energy source throughout the industrialized world. The use of coal-derived energy, combined with increasing use of machines and deforestation for agriculture and development, led to increased CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere. In the following decades and centuries, these activities would leave a strong imprint on Earth's climate. As early as the 1820s, scientists began wondering how the burning of fossil fuels would affect our planet. In 1896, a Swedish scientist predicted that increasing CO2 in the air would lead to increases in temperature. From his perspective, warming was a good thing, as it meant milder seasons in Europe. Half a century later, however, attitudes towards rising atmospheric CO2 concentrations began to change. In 1956, Charles David Keeling, a scientist and researcher at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, began collecting CO2 measurements from ocean breezes in both the South Pole and Hawaii. Thanks to Keeling's work, we now have a continuous history of atmospheric CO2 levels for the past 60 years. Keeling's curve is startling to look at and hear. It reveals rapidly increasing CO2 concentrations in the air around us, with current CO2 levels over 400 parts per million. These atmospheric CO2 levels are higher than anything that you've experienced during the 800,000-year ice core climate record. You'd have to go back more than 15 million years into Earth's history, well before the arrival of humans, to find CO2 levels this high. Change is afoot, and the impact of climate change is different in every part of the world. How will water and temperature change right here, where you live? Will there be too much water? Too little? Will more people migrate here from places that have become uninhabitable? How can you prepare for such changes? The 800,000-year history of our planet's climate shows that Earth's ecosystems, including the humans who are part of them, have tremendous capacity to respond to changing conditions. But such change does not happen automatically. This walk through geologic time may give you the sense that your one short human life is insignificant. But nothing could be further from the truth. You will help to shape the future of our climate, our planet, and the 800,000 years to come.